Hello and welcome to Best of Five, your weekly FGC talk show where we talk about everything going on in the fighting game community. Usually, it'd be a bit of a post-Evo lull, but the community has given us a lot to talk about this week. And of course, doing that with me will be, as always, Steve, Ace King Offsuit Jurek, and John, Velociraptor Guerrero. Oh, gotta read. Oh no! Wait, what? I actually, I swear to God, Ever just popped out from behind a butt. He must have been waiting there for literally like 15 minutes.
I have been.
I've been in the studio and I had no idea he was here. Wow.
Scoot over. Where's my chair?
Hell yeah.
Give me that chair back.
That's sick.
I forgot he was on this show.
Hey, guys.
Wait, that was legit.
Hey,
I had no idea.
The best part was that before the show, Alon and I were figuring out how to hide, and he's like, you know, you could just hide in the bathroom. I was like, no, I want to be behind that curtain.
Be a normal hiding spot for you.
Hey, guys. So, a lot to talk about. No post-Evo lol. You're a big fan of Fresca's, I heard, prior to the show.
Yes, I am. Efren's heard all my wiling outs.
Hey, what's going on, dog?
How's it going, Efren? How's your child doing?
Still alive.
Still alive, that's good.
That's a good start.
You know, in these early...
Well, here's a drive. I'm never hosting the show again. Great.
In these early goings, she survives a day. We're doing all right. Things are going great. It's been 6 weeks. In fact, 6 weeks today.
Well, do you remember how to throw to Steve for the recap?
I point.
Okay.
I point, and I'm like...
I never do the point.
Steve. Ace. King. Offsuit, you can give us a recap of the events that happened over the weekend. John's here too.
Oh man, that felt right. That felt whole. But now in all of this, I'm kind of.
Well, I have my laptop and everything. Let me grab all my shit.
Go get your laptop. Go get your laptop.
All right, you get your laptop. All right, I found my place.
And you know what's great? Well, while you do that, I'll just say one more thing. I don't even need the laptop anymore because Alon's so damn good since I've been gone. He's doing the graphics now. But coming back, let's see if I have a reason to use it. Clap gifts.
We kind of don't need you, but we want you.
Aw, John. This is all the shit I was talking in the chat.
Yes.
We always need you.
All right. Well, sorry. Recap.
All right, can't put it off any longer. Week after Evo, usually not a lot going on. Ton of stuff going on this year. Let's start with Body Count Fighting. They had their seventh event this past weekend. They had a couple of title matches in Tekken and DBFC. Joey Fury hung on to maintain his Tekken title over Wei Gamble. Looked like that was going to be a wash, but Wei Gamble ran it back, got it down to the final round, but Joey Fury hung on, so he's still got that gold. In the Dragon Ball world, Hook Gang God is your new champion, as he beat the Kill Sage 5-4. And you see the rest of the undercard, the big one, Punk, a 5-2 win over Justin. So he appears to be the next person in line for the Street Fighter title shot. Let's go over to the Red Bull Conquest series. Couple events over the weekend, one offline, one online. The offline one took place in Orlando, and you know when you're talking about Street Fighter in Orlando, you got to talk about Knuckle Dew. He took it over Gentleman Thief to win the Street Fighter title. Ryan Hunter over Hotashi in Guilty Gear, and Obscure taking it over Cody in the Tekken tournament. So Knuckle Dew, Ryan Hunter, Obscure, an all-Florida team representing Orlando in the Red Bull Championship.
Now, didn't there used to be a rule about like pros in the Red Bull Conquest in the old seasons?
Because that was tied to the regional final for North America. This year it's a completely different thing.
Okay.
So
it's
I was just wondering what made it different. Yeah.
We have a Red Bull while we're on that topic. There's a Red Bull Conquest that was supposed to be happening this coming weekend in Phoenix, but the venue got flooded or something like that, so they actually have to postpone it. But like Steve, do you know off the top of your head the rules for the Red Bull, like the qualification process? It's like a person, a rep from Street Fighter, a rep from Tekken, and like a rep from Guilty Gear or something like that all have to be on a team, and they all represent each other in their own. It sounds wacky. And a big departure from them just being part of the Pro Tour last year.
Yeah, think of it sort of like a track meet where you have all the individual contests and then there's a scoring system and it all comes together to determine a team championship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be sort of like that. As you said, flooding, our severe storms hit the Phoenix area, so that event is postponed until a later date to be determined.
I'm hearing in the chat here it's September 29th.
Okay, so. They may have announced it. I did not catch it before before we went to air. So the other Red Bull event was an online one, and if you felt bad for Hotashi falling just short in the Orlando qualifier, don't feel too bad. He took the Guilty Gear title over Bjorn online. IDOM taking Street Fighter over Terrence and Glaciating over Rixta in Tekken. So those three, team of NYC, Miami, and Kansas City, will represent Team Online later this year. Let's kick it over to the Pro Tours. The Tekken World Tour had one event this weekend. It was Moscow Fighting Arena. It was a challenger event, and it was taken in a Russian sweep of the top four by Toko. Our Tekken Toko, one of the mods actually from our Tekken, taking it over Forrest. You see Love Neat coming over from India to pick up some points. Once again, though, Aseem, he had trouble getting to Head Stomper due to weather, or he was unable to compete there due to weather. This time there was a delay in getting out his visa, so him and Jobelix were unable to compete. So unlucky run for him. The good news is he didn't fall farther behind in the chase for the Tekken World Tour Finals. If we take a look at the global standings, he is still in that 21 spot, just 2 points back of Dimeback for the final place. You see Toko with his win up to 22. There was a bunch going on in the world of Street Fighter, including an event that wasn't supposed to happen this weekend. The conclusion of the Latin American online event. This was postponed from a couple weeks back due to a PlayStation Network outage. So they finished up the top eight this past weekend, and it was Crossover who took it over a former guest of ours, Mono. You see Louis Mann continuing his recent run of success, as well as Leo24K making top eight. But that is a big win for Crossover as he hopes to get into the thick of the race. Then take it over to the two offline events that we did expect this weekend. Fight Club NRW in Cologne, Germany, was taken by Phenom. He did it with Guile to beat Luffy, so another character added to his repertoire.
That's he mentioned that's the third character that he's used in Street Fighter V to win any kind of a major, right?
Yeah.
Over the last, 2.5 years, and obviously the changes in the seasons have altered the characters, but that's still an accomplishment. You know, the versatility there, got Bison, Nicali, and now Guile. Yeah. Guy's a good player.
He's pretty good. But yeah, it's his third win of the season, but his first one offline. His other two were the West European online events. Went 2-0 in those. So congratulations to him as he moves up the standings. Luffy again moving up as well. Close out the CPT this weekend with Furiatika.
Hold the phone.
What the hell is this?
I'm not liking these colors, Ace.
I thought Mana was blue.
Mana's supposed to be blue. What the hell is going on?
He was blue. We're not at this point yet. We've got one more event to go.
Oh, you're saying Alana went too far?
Elon has, he always goes too far.
Oh, yeah, well, there's no lie there.
let's pull it back one screen.
I don't know if Elon can.
Oh. God damn it, Elon. Furiatica, here we go.
Furiatica. Let's take a trip to Costa Rica. Very profitable trip for Maximoff as he takes the title over Kakaroto. His first ever CPT win, so congratulations to him. Not a whole bunch of players in this event who already had points. In fact, the only one who earned points this weekend that already had some was Doomsnake. So Maximoff still a ways to go to get into the thick of qualifying for Capcom Cup, but pretty good start for him. Now y'all can yell at me for the green.
Well, before we yell at you, let's thank Zalbog Bolv for subscribing to the channel.
I have a new gift that I'm going to debut tonight, guys. But it's not a gift clap for somebody subbing.
Okay.
It's for when you make a hot take.
Oh, okay.
That is questionable. How about that?
I expect you to get footage of the baby clapping and use that as a gift.
Yeah.
She can't do that yet.
She can't clap yet. That makes sense.
Hey,
I'm playing.
Oh! Ace King offsuit. Hold it. Hold it.
Wait, don't join.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that one works. I accidentally almost put the one that I'm saving for hot takes.
Cool. Thanks, also, Steve. Before we go on, there was also two people that subbed before the show started, and one that subbed right as I sat down and scared the hell out of me. that is Epistel, Rabbi Chang, and Zero Star.
Isn't Rabbi Chang the one that's always anonymous?
Yes. Yeah. But that's fine. Nice. Thank you to all three of you.
Yay.
We will eventually not say your name. I swear.
All right, now Steve has to defend himself.
Okay. Yeah, dude. The hell? Disappointed.
So you missed this whole thing, everyone.
I've been watching from home.
You've been watching, but you haven't experienced. Everyone got on me like, why is Mena blue? Then I couldn't use blue on another game because then it looked weird. So now, if you're green, you're in the money. That's the thinking.
Okay. That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know about that.
You know what? Y'all can make your own graphics. How about that?
All right. So four people have guaranteed themselves into the Capcom Cup.
Yeah, but that's not like in the money. That means they're in the big ball game.
But yeah. Everyone at Capcom
Cup, so they should all be green.
Guaranteed money.
Okay.
So they are in the money.
Okay. Well, then technically everyone on the screen is in the money right now.
Hurricane ain't in the money. Toy ain't in the money.
What about Daniel?
Might not be in the money.
Yeah, explain yourself. I don't know what you mean by that, John. How's everybody on the screen in the money?
I meant like everybody that is, if Capcom Cup started right now, they would be in the money.
Oh.
So not everyone on that screen, but almost everyone on that screen. It doesn't matter what happened with Capcom
Cup. Well, let's just look at those standings again and talk about them a little bit.
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah, not a whole lot of change this weekend. Phenom moving into the top 10, but still very much not officially secured, but more or less comfortable in his spot for the Capcom Cup. You will start to see some big movement over the next few weeks because this is something we'll probably touch on later, but the next 6 weeks, there are seven different premier events taking place
on
CPT. There's one each of the next 5 weekends, and then there's two at the same time, one traditional one and the European final. So expect a lot of movement, a lot of players to shoot up the rankings, pick up some big points.
So Infiltration with 1,600 points right now is not technically qualified?
There is still...
Is he green, John? It's very simple.
You're right. I'm dumb. My bad. I've been writing about Daigo as though he's for sure in the Pro Tour, by the way. So
more or less.
I would bet on it.
You also hung a D on the back wall of your old apartment, I remember.
That was Driftwood's D.
Oh.
So
tell me more about it.
You're not basking in the shadow of Driftwood's D anymore?
No, I've moved on. He's got a girlfriend, so.
Aw. Womp, womp. Well, now.
Fighting games.
Yeah.
D for dead air. Come on, guys. Let's keep this going.
Right? That was a good one. All right, guys. Are you done with your recap, compadre?
No, there was one other big event this weekend.
All right, let's hear it.
What was it?
Super was Smash it? Con.
Oh, okay, never mind. We're done.
MKLeo taking Smash Con. He missed Evo because of, was it chicken pox?
Chicken pox.
It was chicken pox. So.
Who gets chicken pox anymore?
MKLeo. he got it. Lima attended but did not enter, the Evo champion. So we have yet to see the showdown as with Evo champion Leo or Lima versus MKLeo.
Wait, why not enter? Is there a legit
I think
reason?
It's a clever move. I think it's like trying to avoid the mana effect.
He said that he didn't get there in time. He didn't register in time. So but there were some big upsets in the Melee tournament. At the top, a couple of names you expect. Armada, Mewtwo King, Hungrybox taking the top three. But looking at the other gods, both Leffen and Mango finishing outside the top 64. Leffen feeling ill on the second day, withdrew after winning his pool. Mango actually lost a match to Flipsy. In the second wave of pools, and then immediately withdrew. So,
whoa! Mango loses, and so like he. I mean, that's not to go to loser's bracket, right? Because the way that Smash works, but it was that essentially the idea is like
he lost to go to losers, and then he quit.
What?
I think it's lame.
Like I know he's a rock star, right? The one time I remember seeing Mango on stage was at an Evo where he got top eight, and he got his medal. And everyone's cheering, and when he gets his medal, he just balls it up and throws it out into the crowd because he doesn't care, because then he wants you to know he doesn't care. I don't know about that whole move, though. I feel it's disrespectful to the tournament, you know? And the guy that was in the next one to fight Mango is going to have an opportunity to play one of the Smash gods, but no, I just withdraw. It's like, that's a loser move.
That means he beat him. That's how you play it.
Yeah, yeah.
Smash.
That takes care.
I think now's as good a time as any to bring up the new GIF.
It's a good GIF.
This guy was upset too, right? Hungrybox?
Yeah, why don't we go to that? There's some tweets going around, and he's tired of your shit, Elon. Elon is the one that started this all, a campaign against Hungrybox. He hates Hungrybox.
Yeah, it's because I played Jigglypuff first.
Oh, that's what it was.
And just because he got more famous than I did, I'm kind of jealous.
Why do you think that happened?
Arguable.
Had nothing to do with his skill or his ability to win.
Oh,
versus
yours? Because he's, you know, his name's Juan.
All right.
Should I set this up?
Yes, please.
Okay. During top eight, Hungrybox was in a match. He lost he lost a game, and he was looking at his watch. A lot of people took that to make it seem like he was trying to show up his opponent. In at least what he said afterwards was that he was actually checking to see if he would make his flight because top eight was originally scheduled earlier in the day. It got pushed back later after he had booked his flight. So now there was doubt about whether he'd make it or not. That's why he was checking the watch. And he got mad that everyone was assuming the worst. And this is something that isn't really, it's not the first time that's happened. So he reached the breaking point and he tweeted out, quote, F this community, man. All you guys ever do is look for ways to give me S over any
tiny
thing.
Bro, you can
say
shit and fuck on this show, man.
I can, but I don't want to. Right. I mean, I'm around a new parent. I don't want
She can't understand. She can't understand.
I don't want my profanity yet to rub off on her.
Okay.
All 12 years of me playing Melee has been full of it. I'm literally mocked by my peers, my competitors, and community figureheads on a daily basis. Like, what's the point anymore?
The point is you make thousands and thousands of dollars, but outside of that, yeah, I mean, I feel you. Like, that would suck, and I'm sure it would wear on you for a while. And most of this comes, I mean, I don't follow Smash religiously or anything, But it feels like most of the hate this guy gets is because of the character he uses, right?
It's
Is that fair?
A lot of things, although
is
it's
he a
very
dick? I've never seen him be a
you know,
dick.
You said Bob Scott's a jerk.
There's a lot. No. There's a lot of old stories to be honest, almost all of the Smash gods have a history of at one point or another being disliked by the community. Now, like, there's so much of this, like, Leffen tweeting that Hungrybox is, like, the worst person on earth and giving zero reasoning about it whatsoever, but just saying, you know, trust me. Yeah. I swear, he's the worst. And then a lot of, he plays Jigglypuff, he plays lame, he's killing Smash. This, and to be fair to him, this seems like a ridiculous, like, he was, I mean, like, everything he said checks out. Like, they did change the top 8 date. He did have a flight then. That probably is why he was checking his watch. I'm sure it would get extremely annoying to hear that all the time. I think he probably reacted poorly, obviously. Mm-hmm. Saying fuck the community is not going to win you any favors.
But what point are you at mentally when you arrive at
saying But yes, that? I mean, like, it would suck to have tried. Because, I mean, at least his persona publicly is very positive, I think. Usually pretty nice, and I can't comment on what he's like behind the scenes, but most people who talk about him as a fan say he's nice to fans, he's nice to this, he's nice to that.
Siege in the chat brought up something that I remember when I read it, I was like, man, that's fucked up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the community is awful to this guy.
Somebody ran into him at the grocery store, hey, man, are you hungry, Bob?
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah. Just
and they're like, go kill yourself.
Horrible, 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 this guy, and whatever he's done in the past, I don't think deserves what he's getting at this point. So
just like a 3-year-old runs up and chucks an ice cream.
I feel bad for him. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, that's shitty. It's shitty.
Maybe he just needs to go home and get some rest.
I think it's something that
is that
you
a
know,
Jigglypuff it, joke? God damn it, what? John. Is that a Jigglypuff joke? Fuck you.
No.
I'm not even in tune to that, so bravo. Bravo. But I just feel like this is something that Smash players have been dealing with for a while because, or at least in the Melee scene, because there's such a separation between the top players and everybody else that they're treated like celebrities in both for the good and for the bad. And this is obviously for the bad. And this is something that I feel is coming towards to the traditional FGC. You know, as we get bigger, as you get more people like me who write about people playing fighting games, who talk about people playing fighting games, who bring up the things that they do on stream, you know, there's this sort of culture of what did they do? What, you know, everything is a blow up now. So to be the focus of that blow up so many times, so often, it drains on you. And, you know, yeah, you make money playing a video game, but that doesn't really cancel out the negativity, you know, just this constant drumbeat of hey, fuck you, you're a piece of shit because
he said it now.
Yeah, dude, seriously, man. What's coming I can say ahead. When she hears you
that
say
was,
the F
wow.
word. You better not say the S word either because I'm a little upset.
I set myself up for that one.
Please continue. You had
you're on a good thought. Yeah.
But it's sort Don't of like it's just it something like this feels inevitable that it would happen to, you know, a Smash player. Yeah, it's kind of runs with the meme, but stuff like this is going to happen more and more as long as there's this big spotlight on players, and especially considering a lot of players coming up now are so young. Like people are talking all this crap about what Lima and Captain Zack did. They're literally teenagers. They're kids
Rotten
playing
teenagers.
A game. And they're getting blown up all over the internet, told they're terrible people, pieces of crap for playing a game not the right way.
It's not even about being good or bad anymore. It used to be like, oh, we like people because they're good at the game. Now it's how you play, too. I mean, Leffen at one point was banned from Smash.
For what?
For being awful. No, like literally for like telling people to kill themselves at tournaments and like making fun of scrubs constantly. He's banned from Smash.
He's like the McEnroe of Smash.
Yeah. I mean, like, banned, but But now he's fine, and he says Hungrybox is awful. I don't really know. I don't really care about any of them in particular. It's like, ugh, I don't know. But no one should be told the things they're told.
Whatever. Well, the good news is nothing petty like this happens in the FGC. You know, it's only in Smash, so at least we have that to hold on to.
I'm glad you have the ability to say that with a straight face, because I would not have been able to make it.
I'm just calling it as I see it.
Let me tell you what the real good news is. We had a giveaway, an Evo Pizza giveaway. Oh. Can you pick four players and score higher than us four on the dais? And I played from home.
Yeah.
And if so, you will win a pizza. Well,
it ended up being the highest scoring person, because no one was going to beat us taking the top 20 picks.
Correct. However,
sorry, top 16 picks and then four of your picks.
But Steve, Ace King Offsuit Jerk, forgot to say keep it in the continental United States. So it was a little bit trickier, but we pulled it off. We have a winner from Brazil, Pedro. I would pronounce it Pedro, but he did not pronounce it Pedro, and we're going to find out how he pronounces it. Biken Stomps has a pizza, and we have a video. He sent us one.
Hi guys, from Best of 5 Show, this is Pedro, aka Biken Stomps, and I would like to thank Efren, Mike, Steve, and John Velociraptor for this awesome pizza, okay? Thank you guys, and keep up with the good work. And by the way, yes, we use ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise, and the pizzas here in Brazil, okay? Peace out, guys.
So you might not notice, but we actually can't hear it in the studio. But he did at the end of that clip say that in Brazil, they put mustard, ketchup, and mayonnaise on their pizza. It's questionable.
Which is what Elon was telling us.
Yeah. Elon, is that a thing? Elon is Brazilian. Speaks Portuguese, even.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Okay, I do. I know how to say
I don't speak Portuguese, because I'm constantly confused with a Portuguese person at work. We have the same email.
and you figured it out. Okay, anyway.
You know, falo Portuguese. Something like that.
That's close enough. So I've never had mayonnaise on a pizza, but I have had ketchup and mustard on a pizza. And in my opinion, mustard on a pizza is pretty dope, especially on a cold pizza.
Sounds fine.
I'm a mustard guy.
I do. All
right,
all arguing about pineapple and stuff, and there's a real big problem. Mustard, mayonnaise, and ketchup on pizza. I think the conversation needs to evolve.
Regardless, shout-outs to the Brazilian FGC. Shout-outs to anybody in Brazil watching us. And, you know, we're grateful for anybody who watches the show anywhere on the planet. And I hope you enjoyed that pizza. Biken Stomps.
That's
Brazil.
So sick that some dude from Brazil won that. And then some dude from Brazil.
I have more. It's almost never an American who wins any of our contests.
Well, yeah. I asked him.
Half of Salty Claws went to Europe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's almost never American.
Isn't it like 11?
I keep my wallet because
our budget for Steve has gone almost entirely to shipping costs.
Well, I asked him how he made his picks. Let me read this off to you here. Bike and Stomp says, Itazan Haitani had been doing really good at Rage. Oil King always plays good. Men RD would put a lot of work for Evo after his tweet. You know, Men had been saying he's going to win it. And Luffy was just a wild card that worked. So that's how he picked. And shout-outs to...
Well, I guess Americans winning in the FGC doesn't really happen anymore anyway, so...
What about Sonic Fox?
Other than Sonic Fox. All right. We were talking SF5. Anyhow.
Good point. So, shout-outs to Bike and Stops. Thank you very much. We look forward to whatever we come up with to be our next giveaway. And maybe we'll loosen the purse strings and it won't just be a pizza. Quien sabe. All right, back to Smash, guys. No, we're going to stay for later. I do. If you're not excited about the Smash reveals, then you're not maybe a gamer.
I am. I actually love
Smash.
Hell yeah,
man.
The game.
But even the trailers alone, even if you don't play the game, like seeing those trailers, don't you get excited?
God,
like
that K. Rool trailer was so good.
Yeah, well,
I can't wait for the one.
So, yeah, we'll come back to that. Steve, you wrote on here, a new stream series from AJ on Becoming a Pro. AJ, who we once had on the show when he was still, then Echo Fox, am I saying? Or was he at EG at the time?
No, I think he was with Echo Fox, but he talked about being with EG.
We had him at one point on EG when we had Flo on.
That was rough, man. I remember
that was great.
I brought it up. when we made him apologize to Flo live on the show.
Okay, we did not make him apologize to Flo.
Go back into the Daily Dot Esports archives and find that one. That was an excellent episode.
That was one of the best.
Anyway,
of the
AJ
show.
Is back on the prowl, or I don't know how to get this segment going here, but how to become a pro. Steve, what can you tell me?
He recently decided to start a new Twitch stream, a weekly stream, and he has it in mind aimed at people who are trying to become a pro player, trying to get involved with an organization, either from a player perspective, a personnel perspective. So, as you mentioned, former player manager at Evil Geniuses, former player manager at Echo Fox. So the guy knows how to get in, get his foot in the door, has a ton of experience. So be sure to follow Cool Gray AJ on Twitter to see when he will be streaming.
Somebody's reminding us in the chat that I can't believe you guys had Combo Fiend on, and I'm saying he didn't want to be on. And I'm gonna reveal the reason why he didn't want to be on. Because the week prior, we had Triforce and KBR on, and he was like, dude, you're going to go on? Like,
we did some wild stuff back in the day.
You're going to go on that show? They just had Triforce on. Yeah, that was nuts. That was good times.
Good times.
So, you going pro, Steve, is what you're telling me?
I didn't get a chance to watch, so I'm not going to go
John,
pro.
John, are you going pro, John?
Nope.
Mike, you've been going pro on the commentary circuit since I've been gone, man. You've been all over the place.
I've been doing some commentary.
And you've been using it as a crutch. That's what I'm going to call you, bro, because you're like, I shouldn't have done the commentary. That's why I did poorly in my...
It's a really good way for me to say why I lose in tournaments. Yeah, it's really good for that. So I'm going to keep doing it.
Okay, I'm just trying to bust chops here because it's been a long time. It's been building up.
you know, Ever just watches the show every time and he tries to talk shit to me or John or... Not really Steve that much.
Yeah, that's because I love Steve.
I love you too. Strictly platonic, though.
Aw, that's not what you told me on the DMs. But so how do you guys feel about AJ coming back and helping people go pro?
Seems
giving
fine.
Them the tips. That dude's been there from the beginning. Like, EG was one of the first...
Good stuff.
...esports teams to come to the FGC. He's been there on that team. He's been there on Echo Fox. I mean, that dude probably has a wealth of knowledge on...
Someone's going to spin it some way, but I can't really figure out how yet.
What you mean?
I mean, I think it's ultimately a good thing, and no one else, to my knowledge, is doing it, right? And so, and it is real. Like, we're growing and growing and growing, and we're getting more and more teams and more players in the community that are rising up to these levels. And so it makes total sense. Like, someone should write a book, someone should start a stream, and AJ is kind of leading that charge. Whether or not, I mean, it might be too early, and it might be that no one really kind of jumps on, and that would be sad and unfortunate, but... It's very well possible that it's not, and that it'll just continue to gain steam and traction, and it'll be a thing that really helps people. And then if that's the case, I'm sure more people will jump into that boat, and it'll grow, and hey, we'll have more in the way of esports and sponsored players and teams and everything.
And that's all I have to say about that. D for dinner. All right, let me get back to this. We might have a surprise guest at the end of the show, so stand by on that. What? You know, all this talk of these exciting old days, and then it happens. But you're right. I agree with everything you said, John. And who wouldn't want to go pro, man? That would be pretty cool. If we still had Street Fighter 4 going, I know I could probably go pro with T-Hawk.
Easily.
Kick my ass, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Remember? We went like, what was the final count on that? I think I even peed on you once.
Yeah, and then that was after we played.
Okay, so Topanga League 7. Let's talk about that, hey.
Steve, oh, yeah, that's happening.
You're up. Topanga League 7.
Yeah, this kind of came out of nowhere. They announced after a year and a half break the return of Topanga League. So they announced the groups. They invited 18 players and then brought on three more through an online qualifier. So we have our three groups of seven. they will play advance to the offline stage, and then the top players from the offline stage will advance to the final. So,
why are Tokido, Fujimura, and Daigo in the same group?
It is Group C is nasty from at least from a name name recognition perspective, because you've got those three, you've got Gachikun, Momochi as well, and Kazunoko, Sako, and Powell.
Yeah, Powell, I don't think these are very balanced strong at player. All.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like just a quick look here, those are the top ranked players on the Pro Tour that are in this, right? Because the other ones like Infiltration and who else? Problem X? I don't know if Problem X is up there because of a Zero win, right? Yeah, so Fujimura, Daigo, Tokido, that's like 1, 2, and 5 on the Pro Tour, and they're all in the same group.
And then Gachikun got third at Evo.
Yeah, so going through,
not Fujimura,
Fujimura's number one, Tokido's number three, Daigo is 5, Fudo's 7, Gachikun is 9. Who's the next one up? Bonchan is 20, Nemo 23.
I have no idea how they decided this, basically.
Yeah.
Just considering that those, I mean, because, like, obviously almost all of these names are very recognizable and a huge threat, right? But just considering, like, what the recent results have been, you would at least go by the numbers on the Pro Tour to say, okay, well, you know, these are the highest-ranking players on the Pro Tour. Let's spread those guys out at least. But whatever. I mean, it'll still be fun.
Yeah, I mean, every player on there is very good. No doubt about that.
So Topanga League, is that one like one and you're out? No, this is like a whole season.
No, it's like a whole season.
I'm actually like completely out of the loop. I know. Obviously, the
format's changing a little bit this year, but yeah, it's a lot of long sets and good play.
Right on. And that's like not on Twitch and it's hard to watch.
Yeah,
it will be on OpenRec.
I haven't tried that. I keep hearing that people are using.
It used to be on Nico Nico, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yes.
Nico is a lot harder to use.
You have to like navigate a Japanese website to put in your credit card information to watch it, and I ain't going to do that. The only guy on this dais that navigates Japanese sites and has to use their credit card is Steve.
What kind of things are you
Japanese pizza, Steve. Japanese pizza.
Japanese pizzas, bro.
Which is code for dirty stuff.
Good to have you back, Efren.
Anyway, moving right along, we have a new signed player. Speaking of esports, esports ecosystem. You've heard of esports ecosystem, right?
Yeah, of course I have. They
me too.
They are the coins.
Oh, that's right. Well, anyway, they sponsored Cool Kid for SoCal Regionals.
Smart.
Got the coins.
Only for SoCal Regionals or just in time?
My understanding is just for SoCal Regionals. So they're going to ride that hype and then drop them.
Poor Cool Kid, but.
I mean, he's getting sponsored to a tournament, right? So to go to SoCal Regionals.
Yeah, he got top 8 at Evo in 2018 using a character that wasn't supposed to make it into any premier event, you know, top 8. And like, that's a pretty good achievement.
Yeah, Evo's not a premier, clearly.
Oh, you're right.
But, you know, maybe he goes to SoCal Regionals, he places really high, and then, you know, keep him on and throw him some more coins, and I don't know, man.
What accent was that supposed to be?
That's like, Mexican accent.
Come on, man. But Cool Kid, even though Evo wasn't a premiere, that dude's doing work with Abigail Danka.
He is. He did great. I was real happy for him. I was like screaming when he won.
I bet you were.
Efren, do you have like magic tricks that you do now that you're a dad and like dumb jokes and stuff?
I was expecting dumb jokes.
You can't really tell a joke to his kid yet, though.
No, not yet. However, my magic trick is I can change diapers really fast and about 15 a day.
Nice.
Yeah. A lot of diapers that we go through at the house.
Yeah, because now you have two people using them.
Hey, it depends.
Wow.
Anyway, we're moving right along here, guys. Jazzy League announced community run third strike circuit with a name like Jazzy League. I don't know why I would think it would be like Skullgirls or something. Steve, you can't be distracted. Steve, you're the one that makes this rundown for us.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to make things happen for the show here.
Oh.
So,
So, yeah. This was just announced. Jazzy League is a community-run third strike circuit similar to Burst League for Guilty Gear and the like. It will be run on Smash.gg. It will run throughout the year, throughout this year and next. It will end up with a 16-player final. There will be 6 automatic qualifier events. Winners of those go to the final. The top 6 players in the season-long standings, after those guys and girls, will go to the finals. And then there will be a last-chance qualifier event. Top 4 players from that will go to the final as well to round out the field. So, first event will be in a week and a half at La Crosse, Wisconsin. So be sure to check that out.
Guys, we got a lot of juicy topics left in this show. And we got about 45 minutes left to do it.
All right, I'm going to spoil the guest.
Wait.
Ed Boon.
It's my crop.
Wants us to reveal the second trailer for Mortal Kombat 11.
Dude, come on, man. You should have let him come on and surprise
okay,
us.
Okay, well, sorry. Sorry, Ed.
Hi, Daka. All right, let's go to the first of the juicy. Let's just jump into the juicy stuff. Real juicy, guys. Daigo said that Street Fighter V is simple, and that's why more people are able to perform at a high level. And Mena didn't like that. Steve?
yeah. Daigo was.
Do we have
in
a tweet on that?
We do. Daigo was doing an interview with Unicorn, the new esports gambling site, and part of that ventured into Street Fighter V and its complexity, simplicity. And Daigo, in that interview, said, quote, "The simplicity of the game allows international players, the players of the regions that traditionally didn't get represented in Street Fighter, to compete. And I think that's a good thing." A lot of people took that as shade.
I'm always hesitant on translated quotes because, like, I don't know the culture. I don't know exactly how it was said, but it doesn't come off well. I agree. It definitely sounds questionable.
Do you disagree with what Daigo's saying here, though?
Yes. I don't think the simplicity of the game has anything to do with internet. You could talk about online play. You could talk about various things, but I don't think that makes sense. No.
Yeah, I think one of the regions that was most sort of shook by that, or at least, you know, presumed to be shook by that, was Latin America, especially the Dominican Republic, because you've got a bunch of young players coming up doing well. You had the reigning Capcom Cup champion is from Dominican Republic. You have 2 Dominican players who made top 12 at Evo. So that's certainly a scene on the rise. And a lot of people felt that that comment kind of undercut threw some shade at that scene in particular.
I mean, it is Daigo, so his voice goes a lot further and has a lot more gravity than most other people's, so there is that. But at the end of the day, it is one guy saying a thing, and I mean, if you do take offense to it, I think, okay, so I don't personally take offense to it, but I'm not Mena, you know, and I'm not one of these top 8 Evo competitors or Capcom Cup winners, so I get that. But if I try to put myself in their shoes and I go, all right, well, but who the hell cares? I mean, at the end of the day, I'm playing this game, I'm getting fame, I'm getting money, I'm having fun doing it, I'm traveling, I'm helping my scene. If you're Mena and you take home the 250K or whatever it was from Capcom Cup, there's a lot of good and a lot of positivity. And one guy saying, yeah, this game might be for babies a little bit, and that's why everyone else is doing good, because people haven't traditionally done as good as Japan for the most part. It's like, well, okay, good, whatever, it doesn't matter. Here we are now,
John.
This is what's going on.
It's not what? Just one guy, bro. It's
okay,
Daigo.
But like, yeah, I acknowledge that to start this all. But, like, at the end of the day, he's still one guy, you know? And so what he said, it does that change anything anywhere?
Well,
it's
I mean,
just,
that's
it is what it is.
Sure, I mean, I don't disagree with you. But, and that's, I mean, Mena should still feel good about his accomplishments, and so should Kaba. But I do, yes. I like, this, I think the comment's misguided. Like, I feel like he's almost assuming that, like, this is the game being easy has allowed these countries that don't have, like, an arcade scene to, like, be able to play it. But The Dominican scene offline is thriving. They have a ton of great players. A lot. Like, a lot of really, really great players. And they have two absolutely world-class players. And you could argue DRA's up there, too. He's made a Capcom Cup. So, I mean, this is a scene that works really fucking hard and plays all the time. And they've earned it, and I think they would do well in any game. So there you go.
And two of these guys from the DR have taken out Daigo. At least Kawa didn't teabag him like Mena did. Oh, that was pretty godlike. Ultra David in the chat says, Street Fighter V is not simple.
I also agree. I don't think Street Fighter V is an easy game.
Street Fighter V is a hard game to be consistent in.
It's exactly, and it's such a broad statement to say it's simple. Is it simple in the respect that the execution's easier than most other games? Yes. And like, is it easier to pick up a character? Yes. Is it easy to delve into the character and to be consistent and to understand the mind games that come into Street Fighter V play? Absolutely not. So to say a game is either simple or complex is it doesn't do the entire topic justice. You can't just sit there and say that. Like, you have to have more detail. You have to say this part of the game is simple, this part of the game is complex, and here's why that's significant. So it needs a little more nuance.
Yeah. Should point out that Mena took to Twitter to respond to this. I believe we have that tweet up as well. He said, quote, "I believe the main reason more regions are getting to shine is because Street Fighter is finally being taken seriously in regions outside of Japan and the United States, not because Street Fighter is a simple game. I believe that if a more complex Street Fighter game is released with the same Capcom Pro Tour incentive or more, we would still see a lot of region diversity and have champions from around the globe."
I agree. Good response. Pretty mature.
And I think it doesn't have to be one or the other. I think that there are it's all part of an equation that adds up to the situation that we're in. Street Fighter V, a little bit more simple in certain ways. Sure, that contributes maybe. And then all the things that Mena just listed.
Why does it contribute? I totally disagree. I don't think it's both sides at all.
I mean, I don't know.
Why does the game being simpler help the Dominicans?
Well, it would help anyone. It would help anyone outside of those that have been consistently good in the past. It's like the people on the top of the mountain or the top of the tower. If you change the landscape, then the things that they've been good at or the things that they've been focusing on are no longer necessarily the most important parts of it. And so now you've changed what is important, so the hierarchy can change a little bit.
That you know. Two sides to the same coin right there. There's opinions on both sides. Good opinions on both sides. And
again, I don't think that like it's all answered on one side or not. I think it's there are little bits and pieces of truth to all the sides of it, and it adds up to what's going on right now. But to say it's like it's because it's simple, it's like no, that's erroneous. Or it's because it's complex or whatever, it's erroneous. It's a whole thing.
His reply also, I find it interesting that he says, if there was another game, more complex or otherwise, that had the same incentives as the CPT, you'd still see the same amount of drive. Considering that there are not the same incentives in the South American region, considering don't they like not even have prize pools, they can't even give money away.
Well, they didn't have the finals. Didn't have money because Brazil has different laws regarding.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then disregard what I just said. I'm sorry, guys. Guys, do we want to talk more about that? The game's not simple. It's very hard to be consistent. Just Ultra David said, and whatever he says, I take as.
We've talked about SF5 simplicity a million times.
So people do want us to talk about this, the Illuminati plotting against James Banks. We're going to say that for a little bit later because next up, the juiciest of juicy topics is, I want to do a money match. Get the fuck up. I have the right to the seat that your ass is planted in because I'm playing for money.
Right? Oh, wow. Wow.
Get up.
I'm getting up.
Can we talk about how this
started? How many dollars exactly? I think it's like $37.5 it becomes a legitimate money match. Well, yeah, we have to account for inflation, which coast, who's playing, what characters.
East Coast is famous for doing a first to 15 for $5.
Yeah, no, yeah, I've seen that many times.
But like I don't remember the name of the guy that kind of said this, but I remember the response was from Chris T, right? And he was...
Let's applaud for Pinch Grip. Daigo says,
and of course, Pinch Grip just paid $5, so we like him more than all of you.
Yeah, everybody, absolutely. All you other subs, get out.
Yeah, if you're not a sub, you have to let him sub first.
I don't know. He gave us a first to 10 money match worth of attention. So
yeah, for well for
well
East
for
Coast
a New
only.
Yorker, yeah.
Hey, Don, okay, you're sending it up with the Chris T tweets.
Right now, do we have those tweets? Because I don't want to. I mean, if we have them already, ready
I don't
to go,
have the graphic, but okay, I can no. pull it up.
Sure. I mean, if we want to quote them directly, but my like the whole thing was the argument is that when people are playing casuals, there's a line for casuals, but if somebody wants to play a money match, they get a fast pass to the front of the line and get to play that because it takes precedence because the stakes are higher because it's a money match. One person said, this is not how things should be. Everyone should just have to wait their turn. Chris T jumped in with his infinite 22-year-old wisdom or however old he is and said, no, this is the way it is. Well, look, Chris and I are friends, and I grew up Street Fighter-wise and competition-wise in the exact same environment at the exact same time as him. I experienced this as well, and I've even been the person that's like, hey, we're going to money match, and the whole atmosphere of the area and the room that we're in goes, oh, no, money matches do take precedence. That is something that happens, and you can make an argument for that because you say, well, money going into it, okay, the stakes are higher, so they should get to play. Is that a set-in-stone rule that makes it right? No, absolutely not. There is no set-in-stone rule because we don't have people like referees going around and monitoring and regulating the casual station. So I think it was inappropriate for Chris to come forward and say, no, the rule is. It's like, no,
it was a very weird, and I know we've both been in money match situations. I think this is like something that happens in money match rooms when like some two people are playing casuals and some guy comes up and is like, hey, we're planning on money matching. And usually the guys go, yeah, like, go ahead, you know? I've never, this rule does not apply as far as I've known to casual stations at tournaments. This is like a misapplying of a rule. Like,
well, and it used to be that most money match rooms were rooms in a hotel.
Yes, exactly.
And nowadays it's all happening down at the casuals.
And
if
that's
a
totally different
casuals.
Situation, and the atmosphere is totally different. And I think it was never an issue in the past. But yes, if two guys came up to two other guys and were like, get the fuck up, like we're playing a money match, that would be an issue. And I don't. Yeah, I agree. Like, I think we have the same opinion, which is that like this was a weird thing for Chris to tweet.
Like, the only and so yeah, it feels like that's what I was getting at with like his young 22-year-old infinite wisdom. It's like, you know, you're jumping to a place of authority here and talking about it in a way that says like, no, this is the set in stone. This is in the FGC rule book, and there is no such thing, at least not concerning this. At the end of the day, the only thing you might argue that's set in stone is. People just need to have respect for each other when they're playing and they're in these environments. But I mean, it's very much dog eat dog. And when you're sitting there and there are limited setups, what it really comes down to is it's like the law of the jungle. The pushiest and the loudest player is going to get their way most of the time. You know, the person that says, "No, let me get one more," even though our set's over, oftentimes will stay on and get to play another one. And everyone goes, "Well, that guy's a dick." In fact, we had a player here in Arizona. That would do that, and it happened so frequently that everyone hated him. They eventually ostracized him from the group, and he kind of stopped coming. And he anytime someone would do something like that, we would call them his name.
We'd we have the Brian Jones. Yeah, we have the same one.
Yeah, so in that case, you're Brian Jonesing people right now and stuff like that, right? So you use not only his first name. I'm not even going to use my guy's first name, but you're using his first and last name. Great. But
yeah, Brian Jones so like, again. Yeah.
You risk ostracizing yourself from the group, and you risk being a dick, and ultimately it's not good for everybody around you, so don't do it. But at the same time, if someone comes up and respectfully like, hey, we're playing a money match, and someone is just as able to go, yeah, sure, I mean, like, that's fine, and I want to watch it, and it's probably higher level players or whatever, I don't know. But the bottom line of it all is just be respectful of the people around you. Acknowledge the people around you. You know, give your turn. Whether you're the one sitting down or you're the one waiting, be nice to the other people.
But most importantly, you need to be nice to top players. Hungrybox had, I think he put this entire argument to bed by saying, money matching is one thing, but I truly hope you don't have this logic if it's a top player needing to warm up for a tourney.
You know, every time I defended Hungrybox, I feel bad now.
Only so many setups backstage in our special area. So top players often have to use
God,
play.
We, so
it sucks, but we
dumb.
Have to be there in coach with you guys. This is not top player entitlement. It would be people doing their jobs.
It's almost like he used a template for a bad tweet. Like, it's like he came out and said, no, you're wrong, but it's right in this situation where it's just as bad. Like,
I mean, and that's going to come across that way, and I agree. But also, if I mean, say you're practicing casuals and or you're playing casuals, and somebody that's getting ready for top eight says, "Hey, I mean, there aren't any other setups. Do you mind if I take this to practice?" I think a respectful thing would be to let them do that.
If HBox tweeted, "Does someone have a setup for me to practice on right now?" he would get 1,000 responses in 10 seconds of people trying to airmail him GameCubes to play on. I promise. Like, it would be really easy. Really easy for him to get a setup.
I think what a lot of this boils down to is, you know, just beyond the specific issue at play, it feels like it's kind of getting into this idea of a fighting game tournament as a participatory experience versus a fighting game tournament as a spectator event. You know, if you're a casual player, someone who goes 0-2, 1-2, 2-2, you know, casual matches are basically going to be the highlight of your weekend. You know, it's your chance to go in and grind and get some games in. But does that take priority over, you know, a particular money match, which obviously involves fewer people and monopolizing the setup, but brings more spectators over, brings more hype to the showroom floor, the game floor, you know?
Look, here's how the interaction happens. You're playing Hungrybox or whomever comes up, "Hey guys, I have a match. Is it cool if I play?" It's completely within your right and it's your prerogative to say, "Yeah, that's cool. Go ahead." Or, "No, I'm sorry. We're playing casuals. You got to get in line, Hungrybox, you scrub." Either one of those responses, I mean, whatever. Like, that. This should not even be a real debate. It's almost silly that we're talking about it. It's like, you just ask and the person on there, you know, I'm done with it. It's dumb.
So it really is dumb.
Be nice to each other.
It's really dumb.
I have one little anecdote. So here in Austin, every year they have, like, Rooster Teeth throws a convention at the convention center called RTX. I usually work there. I'm a room manager for one of the panel rooms. This year, somebody brought a briefcase with a CRT and a GameCube, and they sat in line playing Melee. Now, if somebody who's just going at a convention to wait in line brings this to have fun, if pro players are really having that big of an issue finding a setup, since it's their job and they should be prepared to do their job, why not bring their own setups?
Elon, run it.
Oh, got it.
All right, so at least, okay, I said earlier that there was no petty, you know, drama crap going on in the FGC. We're going to attribute that still to the Smash side. So we still got a clean slate.
Yeah, that was Smash. That was Smash.
We're nothing here. The FGC proper has not done anything inappropriate or sinister or conspiratorial or behind their backs or... So the esports Sentinel, or what was this site that came out of nowhere?
I don't know.
It was the first article they ever put up. I had a scathing article. Damning, even smoking gun, if you will, of the UK FGC really ripping this one guy a new one and conspiring to make him look like an asshat live during an event, which they didn't do.
Well, apparently, I thought I was going to be giving like a crazy hot take on this, which was that I didn't think it was a big deal. But I guess that's not that hot of a take.
It's
and
offensive.
I guess a lot of people are agreeing with me. No. And I'm usually the person, you know, being pretty hard on people here. Should I give my take?
Well, okay, throw up the...
Let's
set it up. Let's look at the screen grab things, and then I want to hear your take, mi compadre.
Probably me again. So this was...
Yes.
Sorry. So this was an article from VP... from VP Esports that just came out today.
Does that mean they're the vice presidents of Esports?
I would assume so.
Okay.
It involves screenshots apparently taken from a group chat that involves Logan Sama, F-Word, a few other UK commentators who were set to work with James Banks, who is an Esports host / presenter, not necessarily someone from the fighting game scene.
No, he's from CSGO. I've talked to him and I've worked with him, and he's tried. He kind of saw the growth in the fighting game side of esports a year or two ago now, and kind of wanted to get in on that and said, you know, like, I'm going to start doing interviews. I want to start being part of this. I want to start help propelling the FGC towards esports. So no, he's not an esports guy. I'm sorry. He's not an FGC guy through and through, but it's like, hey, I know the ropes here. Would you guys like to, you know, like, I can kind of help you, you know, show you around a little bit and try to help and grow your scene along with this and just tell you what I know. And that's my personal experience with James Banks.
Okay.
I'm trying to
but he is the new kid.
And you're making it, I assume that this guy deserved everything that they were locker room talking about him.
Okay, so these four guys said that they were going to
trip him up.
Trip him up, interrupt him, ask him hard questions, treat him like an outsider, and try to make him look dumb in their group chat.
Yeah.
And
they seemed a little bit salty that he was getting top billing.
And yes, and that he was getting the billing for this, etc.
It's fucking Mean Girls, dude.
Yeah, it's a little Mean Girls.
And my take is this, which is that it looks bad, right? And there were some douchey things said in here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not necessarily something you defend. At the same time, the tournament went on. They didn't do any of this. And this was a private group chat. I think there's a big difference between saying salty things privately to people and not flowing through on them than either A, doing it, or B, stating it publicly and hurting someone's feelings.
Not in 2018, baby.
I mean, it's honestly... Saying stuff like this and writing stuff down and doing things like that is considered a healthy method for getting rid of that anger and for not doing things. It really is. I'm not kidding.
No, that's a valid argument. It really is.
And I like, maybe they said it in the wrong place. Obviously, someone in here screenshotted this and sent it to someone. So maybe that was dumb. I don't know who's in the chat. But I think thinking malicious thoughts is not only not a crime, but not even really a bad thing. And they didn't do it. And there you go. Like, I don't care. Like I really don't care. And I don't harbor any different feelings about any of them because of this. So there you go.
Well, what confuses me about all of this is that, one, you know, you have Logan and F-Word who have experience in this exact thing. They both worked on Gfinity Elite Series. So they've worked with people who don't necessarily come from a Street Fighter background. This idea that you have to be one of us in order to be a successful host, that's not – they already know that that's not the case. You know, we saw it at E-League. You know, if you have someone who's a host, they don't necessarily have to be – a master of all the knowledge that the game shows. They just have to navigate the show, allow the analysts to show what they know, put them in spots where they can educate the audience, inform the audience. And you don't necessarily have to be a great Street Fighter mind in order to do that. We saw that with Richard Lewis, say what you will about him, but he was good in the hosting role. Malik as well was good in the hosting role in E-League. So it just puzzles me that this is a thing, like this salt, assuming it's true,
what puzzles you about it and what surprises you about it, this is like a recurring theme. It's always been the case. If you don't have cred, if you've never played, if you're not like start from the bottom and then made your way up
now to give a little bit of background, they talk about how he responded specifically about who we're Ryu, talking about.
Okay.
James Banks. So he was talking about Street Fighter, I guess, out of line. Yet again, I'm not endorsing what they said at all. I'm just saying that, like, ignoring what they said.
But back to my point is, this has always been the case. We're very protective. An outsider comes in who has clout from somewhere else, and you think that since you have clout in CSGO, you can come in here and take our jobs? That is not, you know, typically...
It's a different job!
It's a different job! I don't care,
it. And like Steve said, he's not underqualified in the sense of, like, the host plays the chorus of the people. And any questions the people might want – I mean, Efren does that. Efren asks questions on this show that he already knows the answer to because he's trying to drive the conversation in certain directions. And whether or not he knows the answer or not is Right, I know. And sometimes he doesn't know it. And that's fine because you have other people around that can answer. Is James Banks not qualified to do what he's set up to do here? I don't think that's the case at all. I think he's just perfectly fine. He's qualified. He knows how to talk in front of a camera. He knows esports and such.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but I'll follow up.
Okay, well, and then just, but like Duncan said, on the other side, like these guys didn't do what they said they were, going to do. At least it didn't seem that way. And it's like, it was 100% locker room talk, and everybody's guilty of that kind of stuff here or there. And it's like, just because in 2018 everything's documented and such, it's like, are we going to really go down that path of pointing the finger at people that, like once we have mind reading technology, like, oh, you thought a bad thing one time, so now it's as if you did the bad thing. It's like, come on, we have to draw the line somewhere. And I say we draw it at action. And I don't think that, I mean, this was dumb. Those guys had douchey tendencies, but a lot of people have douchey tendencies every day and they don't act upon them. So whatever, conversation over, move on. Unless, of course, we have someone as a guest from the, chat.
Somebody called out Ultra David for pushing back a little bit on Richard Lewis, and he says in this chat, "Hey, I worked with Richard Lewis, and I wasn't a jerk about
it." True, he did.
So that you can infer that Ultra David is implying that everybody in that group chat is a jerk.
But I think that even if they're just joking around and there was no intent.
I know.
But even if they were just joking around, there was no intent to actually do anything. The big takeaway for a lot of people is, just the FGC coming away looking like a community.
Exactly. We're douchers.
If you're not part of the cool kids club, if you don't know everything that's going on, we're not going to let you in. And I don't think anyone wins with that.
Yeah. And I do also think there's a big difference between what they said and some generalizations or locker room talk that has gone on in other worlds, where I don't think they were generalizing or saying these horrible thoughts that were completely misguided. But yet again, I don't know anything about the guy they're talking about or what he's done or his past.
He was on some European streams, right? Yeah. Like they did a little analysis desk. If I have any complaints, is that analysis desk was not all that engaging, and it was like, get back to the matches. But I don't think it's any fault of Banks' own. I remember thinking, hey, he looks pretty polished, if not a little out of place and unfamiliar, because I don't know who this guy is, but he was wearing a sports coat or some shit. I can't remember.
It is a bad look for us as the FGC. But again, it's in a chat, a WhatsApp chat on a phone. Whoever leaked it, I think, is also a dummy.
For doing so, laughing because, his ass off right now.
Well, yeah, sure. In the short term, it's funny and whatever, and we get to talk about it on this show, and it's interesting or whatever. But the ramifications of this kind of thing, it's like we're making a lot out of nothing here. That really doesn't affect people. It's like everyone knows people can be dicks, especially privately. But no one did anything. That's all there is to it,
That said, it kind of feels like a situation where with Hulk Hogan just went, or had that we just welcome.
because they ripped their shirts off in a rink or a ring.
Wait, when did they use that word? I don't remember that.
Because Hulk Hogan came out as saying some things that are very much racist. Very much racist in a tape that was never.
Which, again, I think it's very different than what these guys said, but
the situation. I'm not comparing
the same idea.
What they said to what he said at all. But what I am saying is, once the idea, the information is out there, it's a separate issue from how the information got out there.
Okay. Are we done?
Well, are we done?
Steve, are we done?
I think we might have someone who can give us a different point of view on this. Is he on?
No, we have to say bye to John first.
Okay.
John said he didn't want to be a part of this. But John, do you have any final thoughts? I will be a part of
it, but if you have to kick off in order to have enough squares on the thing or whatever, I'll hang out. But if you need to get rid of somebody, I'll go. I'm just what I'm saying.
Well, we are going to do
that. We can
that,
share
John.
A square. I don't know how it works anyway.
Sorry, John. We will say bye, and I appreciate you sacrificing your time on the show. Shouts to John, one of my favorite people on the planet. I missed you very much. I wanted to hear your takes on the event hubs. I mean, not the event hubs, on the Smash Brothers Ultimate reveals, on what you thought about Simon and Richter Belmont and King K. Rool. But we might have to just put a pin in that and wait till next week.
Love you, miss you, bye.
John Velociraptor, writes for VanHubs.com. Check out his articles and follow him on Twitter.
All right.
So we're going to... yeah, you were convinced that your take was going to be...
My take was going to be hot because people are always loving to hate. But apparently most people kind of feel the same
way.
You
read it and you're like, man, these guys are just like joking.
I actually overreacted the first time I read it and I was like, oh, like, wait. And then I realized, oh, this is for an event that already happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was like a conspiracy to hate on this guy in a future event that might actually happen. And I was like, oh, that's pretty bad. But then I was like, It's very different than that. And as I said, there's a long conversation on why that's different than being extremely racist or something on Hidden Tape, but we'll go into that a different time.
But if I'm trying to warm my hands with some friendlies, you better step off with those money matches.
Well, if they had been talking about how they'd kept playing a tournament match, or a casual match, after someone else had offered a $5 money match, then I would hate them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously.
It's the culture.
So you're pretty pumped for King K. Rool, huh?
I am. I love Smash.
Yeah, I know you do. I pre-ordered it. I have Amazon Prime. I pre-ordered it, and I got like 20% off.
You get like 20% off or something like that.
Yeah, pretty, man. All on that. Anyway, hopefully we'll shortly have, probably not, because you know you never can know with Elon as our technical director here in the studio. There's Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey. Am I still good to go?
Yes, you're live and on the air, mi compadre.
Yay. Okay, let me hang up this.
Yeah, just keep narrating your life while we wait for our special guest to come on.
Hola.
Hey, we can hear you, but we can't see you. Is that how we're going to do this?
I'm driving, so...
Okay, we'll take it. Our special guest right now is none other than the head conspirator of the Illuminati to dethrone James Banks before he even had a chance to shine in the FGC, Logan Sama himself. Hello, Logan, how are you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Can you note the sarcasm in my voice?
It's a good attempt for an American. I'll give you points for effort at least.
Logan, do you have anything to add to this? Some people are obsessed with thinking some horse shit. It looks like some clickbaity shit. But regardless, it does probably put you guys in a bad light that you're quote-unquote conspiring to make somebody look bad on a public event, and not only that, somebody who is trying to step into our community, which we hold so dear.
I'm sure that was probably the point of the article, so it's succeeded there. That was probably the point of whomsoever took those screen grabs and sent them to the person who wrote the article as well. So, yeah.
Do you know who took the screen grabs? Are you annoyed? Is that something you're trying to figure out? Like, who the hell did this and why?
We're pretty sure who it was. So to put it into perspective, the group chat, it has been around for about 5 years.
Wow.
Winner stays on as an event started in 2010,
mm-hmm.
In London. And the group chat was set up for sort of the more serious competitive players to kind of exchange ideas and plan traveling to events around the rest of Europe and then obviously further on the world and build kind of on the camaraderie, but also to provide sort of a space for, you know, venting frustration and being dumb and what have you. Just a closed off group, which has survived for 5 years now. We pretty much talk to each other every day.
Sure.
And it's very much responsible for fostering that sort of connection that we have that you saw present itself on the stage at Evo.
And I imagine that, like, this is the first time anybody sees this group chat, and it's taken out of context completely,
yeah.
And it's this negative conversation you guys
are
having.
Or what it appears.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, sorry.
And anybody who knows you and the group of people that were in that chat know Winner Stays On, knows the stream, knows you from commentary, certainly already has an image of you in their mind. Or an impression of you, or what have you, but and again, I'm not trying to throw you softballs here. But you read this conversation, it's like, okay, they're joking, right? And the proof is in the pudding. You guys didn't also trip them up at this event,
But is there anything you want to say, whether, and I won't put words in your mouth, but an apology or maybe add context to the conversation or anything to that effect?
So in Europe, the CPT events get less budget than the American events. It's a smaller budget, but they're expected to provide the same product, essentially. And recently, the contract for the production has changed over to Unequaled Media, who do such an amazing job putting together the stream every week at Capcom for Winner Stays On sessions, which is the weekly sessions that, again, I put together to kind of bring through and showcase the talent of the players, because I felt like the players didn't really get seen as much being in Europe, which doesn't get as much coverage. Unequaled Media have some, you know, some different ideas on how they want to present things, and they were really, really successful with their production at the EGX events over the last couple of years, which included some great crowd interaction and also introduced James Banks as a host on the stage. EGX is a trade show, so it's kind of like having a Capcom premiere event at E3. So there's significant stage budget. There's a fixed kind of analysis area on the stage, and it worked really well because it was great jokes and banter. We made fun of each other over the weekend. We'd pull players up on stage, and James Banks would be working there as the sort of generic host, and allowed sort of the broadcast talent, myself, F Word, people like Tyrant, Shoyu Sengan, Damascus, Jammers, to all get involved in the conversation. In the last couple of events, notably Stunfest was the first one, they wanted to try that analysis desk at those events as well. Now, to put an analysis desk together on top of the standard broadcast, which you see at the US events, you obviously require budget for that. It needs extra audio equipment, extra cameras, camera operators, and of course to hire James as the host. Now, that budget has to come from somewhere, and there were issues that arose in terms of pay rates and budget available that caused myself and F Word to not do Stunfest for the first time. Even though we offered to do it, basically, and we afforded to do it for a lower rate than we got paid for the last 2 years of doing it, mm-hmm. as well. So for us, like, there was a frustration there in that this esports analysis desk, which is, it works when you have the budget to execute it perfectly, but when it's coming out of budget to produce what we feel is the best broadcast.
I'm blocking here.
And as you could, like, you know, the other players and other talent felt the same way as well about that, that it was at the expense of the rest of the broadcast.
Mm. So basically, now, you could have done this without it, is what you're saying. And you wish it had been an FGC broadcast table?
I don't wish it had been an FGC broadcast table. I wish that there was budget to execute it properly, because we've seen that it can be executed really well at EGX, but there was not the budget to execute it at Stunfest. And when we found out it was going to be happening also at Versus Fighting, obviously there's going to be groans. There's going to be, okay, we're going to do this again. People don't really have any sort of problem with James Banks. He's enthusiastic. He works hard. He turned up. He took loads of notes. He's really getting involved with Unequaled Media on a business side as well, and working hard to expand the community. But when you have sort of, I guess, colleagues together in a chat, and, you know, I can't, we're just expressing our frustration in the form of
severe ball busting.
This is gonna be, well, no, it wasn't even severe ball busting. It's just making jokes about the fact that you have a generic esports host working on an FGC broadcast, mm-hmm. on an, and I'm doing air quotes, an analysis desk, that doesn't have a tremendous amount of knowledge on the subject matter.
John earlier made the argument that you don't need him to be good at analysis. You just need him to be able to drive a conversation. Now, I don't want to rehash Banks necessarily, but in general, do you think there's any place for somebody who's good at that, you know, function, if you will, of keeping a conversation going or asking the right questions to jump in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There definitely is. There's been great examples of that already on other broadcasts. We do that anyway on Gfinity. We work with people who are not in any way fighting game experts, so it's not something that we're new to either. The only issue was it was kind of getting shoehorned into a production which already had a smaller budget than the US productions, and the US productions have identified that they cannot produce an analysis desk within their larger budget. So we're frustrated about that. The fact that James Banks is the front of that means that he has unfairly and rudely been the butt of a number of jokes, because he is generic esports. It could have been anyone. It could have been Richard Lewis. It could have been Tom Deacon from Gfinity. It could have been anybody. If they're coming in and they're going to be hosting a segment, which we kind of feel is being shoehorned in, and it's very esportsy, because a lot of the discussion is very kind of generic discussion as well. I've been really, really vocal about the fact that I would like to see more people working in broadcast that have in-depth knowledge. And it's one of the reasons why I've said that I'd like to see Duncan do more stuff, because I feel there's a shortage in people that are out there that kind of can really break down what they're seeing and what's going on. So for me, I felt it was kind of a move in the wrong direction. Whether it's childish and infantile to make fun of someone behind their back, of course it is, but it wasn't done maliciously. There was no conspiracy to bring down the broadcast. The broadcast happened. Everyone was professional. We got some great content. It went smoothly. No one tried to sabotage anyone else, and everything went smoothly. But what you do get in a private, safe space group is people voicing their frustration through the means of humor and banter, which is what you got when you saw us talking about, hey, let's trip him up on stage when he does this. Well, obviously we're not going to do that, because we'll look bad as well. We'll look unprofessional as well.
Now, were any of these frustrations aired to Capcom or Unequaled Media or the venues
It
would have been effective to have aired them to?
Repeatedly.
And?
They decided to go ahead with the analysis desk, which is probably why we went ahead with voicing our frustrations privately to ourselves.
So they didn't do anything, and they made
the decision that they wanted to go ahead with it, and they felt that it would work, and they felt that was the best for the broadcast, and they're the ones who are paying the money, so that's what you get.
I have a quick question, unless you had a follow-up.
No, go ahead.
I have a quick question about this article, and then maybe we could move on to some other things that aren't just, you know, this controversy that's a blip and it'll probably be forgotten in a week.
Anything you like.
So what the question before we move on is, did the writer of this article reach out to anybody and ask for any kind of response to it before publishing it?
I was told by two people who are mentioned in the article that they got a DM, just a written DM asking for comment on screenshots that were not shown. That was 1 hour before the article was published. I didn't receive any contact for comment. I only know of two other people that were. Obviously, I'm happy to comment because I'm here. Yeah, commenting.
Exactly.
Always available for comment.
And we do appreciate you that.
No worries, guys. You do a great job on the show. I'm not just trying to, you know, glad hand, but, you know, I think more discussion about current events, where things are going and what things are going on in a forum in which it's taken seriously rather than, you know, Twitter. I don't think Twitter's a good forum for discussion.
What do you mean? There's so much discussion there, though.
Yeah, it's great. I can read one sentence and judge my entire opinion on you as a human being based on one sentence. I won't even need to look at the rest of your timeline or anything else ever. I just need that one sentence.
So
it's terrible. It's terrible for discussion. It's even worse than forums, and forums were pretty bad anyway because it was just people flaming each other. Mm-hmm. But Twitter's even worse. It's just people trying to be snappy and get likes and retweets and quote tweet people and take things out of context. And so you're trying to say all that kind of stuff. I think, you know, discussions like this and shows like this are really good. And I miss a lot of the podcasts that used to be around. So, yeah.
Where people would actually hash it out, you know, together, right?
Exactly. I mean, Ace King obviously contacted me for a comment on the incident, and I could have written a few lines back on Twitter, but you're never going to get... For me to actually transcribe everything that I just told you is paragraphs and paragraphs. Sure. Well, you can just call me up and we'll talk about it. And then you can ask me anything back and I can relay it back to you. And it's pretty straightforward.
Let me ask you this. When you're talking about the frustrations you had with the direction they chose to go in.
Yeah.
Will that impact your willingness or ability to work events in the future?
Absolutely not. It's a decision that's taken over our heads. It's the people that pay the money ultimately making that decision. And the broadcast that they want is the broadcast that they're going to get. And we're going to do the best job that we can. And the Versus Fighting broadcast was fantastic. Everyone did a good job through all the games. And it was great to have Tasty Steve out there. He did an incredible job as well with Spaghetti Rip and Bubsy. It was great to have them on there. We had Ketchup and Mustard on it, and of course all the regular Street Fighter and Dragon Ball guys. And in the end, we gave the same professional broadcast that we always do here in Europe.
Do you think?
And it was nice and smooth.
Do you think this will have a negative impact on perception of the FGC or the European FGC?
Yes. For some people, because some people will make their decision based off of an article or a Richard Lewis retweet or the fact that Logan Sarma's name's involved and he's an absolute piece of crap, so they must all be terrible as well. But then other people won't care tomorrow, and then some people will actually take the time and read it with a bit of intelligence and go, oh, actually, nothing happened on the broadcast. There was no sabotage, and maybe they were just mucking around and being foolish in a private chat group, which I'm sure lots of people do with their colleagues or teammates or friends.
Any last thing you would say, and then we really will change the subject. Anything you'll say to Banks?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely unfair to make him the butt of the jokes based on our frustration at the kind of desk itself, but he is an outsider. We could have probably done more to make him feel welcome. It's not personal, of course, because we're not being malicious about it. It's just, he doesn't know the difference between Yukodon and Fujimura. Let's see if he does, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like, I hate that guy, he's terrible and useless and no good at anything, because he's good at his job. But you have, I've worked in national radio for a decade and a half. F-Word and Damascus both host TV shows for Jinx. Shoyu Sengan's worked for the BBC and works in stage and screen. So you've got a number of talented hosts if you just want people to host and you're on a limited budget. So the frustration came from trying to shoehorn this esports desk into a production that didn't quite have esports budget. But when we do have the budget, it's fine. It's all good. It's proven to work well at EGX. It's proven to be great at Gfinity because we're working with people that probably couldn't tell you who every character was in the game if you showed them on the screen. So, you know, it's not something that I'm completely against, but there was frustration in that, and that's where it came from. It definitely wasn't personal towards James Banks, and I'm definitely sorry and apologetic that the jokes were made at his expense rather than anyone else's. But, you know, that's what private groups are for, being silly and infantile, because you can't be serious all the time. And at the end of the day, we're playing video games, aren't we? We're not solving world hunger or curing cancer. We are doing childish games for a living. And there will be moments
today
of foolishness.
Acid cures autism. And on that note, how excited are you for some of these game reveals? No, I did want to change subject. And you know, you are a commentator of repute, and Street Fighter V is got a nice shot in the arm recently. So officially change the subject too. And we don't have a ton of time left, but just your opinions on Sagat and G that have just recently dropped, and your opinions on the characters at large, and you know, in general, what that means for Street Fighter V, which, you know, didn't have the best spot as far as viewership at Evo.
So there's a number of points there. I'll go with the last one, the viewership at Evo. I think we're in an era now where going on last is not the best spot. I think going on earlier is
better.
That's
what all the apologists say. That's what James Chan said. That's a cop out.
No, I think it's true, because I sat through that CEO. Street Fighter was in the top spot, and it lasted 3 hours, and we didn't finish again till gone midnight. Everyone was tired. It was very muted in the arena, and it's the same thing. If it goes on late, if you've been there for a long time, you've been waiting, it's been a long day, I don't think going on last is necessarily the best slot anymore. Especially with the production and what have you, lengthening these things. And we're easily touching 3 hours these days rather than sort of 2 hours. I don't think going last is best anymore. I think you can get a better time slot in sort of that 4 o'clock in the afternoon time slot. Tekken's amazing to watch anyway. So, yeah, I think Tekken really did well. But for me, the way that Capcom step to the plate, we knew we were getting G. We got Abigail last year, so we knew we were getting G. I was hoping that they'd give us a Sagat teaser at least as well, because we needed more than G. We needed something to cheer about that we were familiar with, rather than some random guy looking like Abe Lincoln. They gave us not only a teaser, they gave us the full reveal, and then we got available tomorrow, and I think, yeah, I saw nothing but positive response. It was overwhelmingly positive. I think it was tremendous. I think Capcom did a great job there in terms of getting those two characters ready in time and being able to have them lined up to release, and keeping that secret as well, because there's so many leaks these days. So I was really impressed with that. In terms of the characters, I've seen both of them in quite a lot of detail. A lot of the guys here, specifically Problem X, is using G a lot. Hurricane and Joker have been using Sagat a lot. And, of course, Ryan Hart has been putting some work in with Sagat as well. I think G is probably the better of the two characters. Sagat is a competent zoner in a game in which zoning is tremendously risky. And I feel like he doesn't do enough with the tools that he has for him to be truly scary. I think that you could tweak him a little bit and make him a lot more powerful. I think his V-trigger, both of them are kind of uninspiring. His normals are definitely not as good as other iterations of him. Like, he definitely don't have CVS2 normals. And yeah, throwing fireballs and doing tiger uppercut if they jump at you is just not enough in this game to put people off from jumping you. You're not getting trade tiger uppercut forward roundhouse into ultra for 60% damage in this game. So for me, I think Sagat kind of falls in the middle, maybe lower middle. G's a lot more interesting. He's got some really cool mechanics. I think, what are the levels? Is zero power up level one, or is it level zero?
I call them 1, 2, and 3. There's okay. Three levels.
So
it's like zero. You first, start at level one.
Okay. So for me, level two is the most interesting level for him. I think being full max level is not as good as level two. I love his V-Trigger 1. I think it's a really interesting mechanic. I think it's better than the Armored Command Grab. I think he's got really, really dangerous set play.
I think it might be the best V-Trigger in the game.
Quite possibly. It's definitely up there. But, again, he is really lopsided. He's got pretty average normals for neutral. I don't see how he can get in easily on anyone to get that stuff going. And his defense is absolute garbage. He has nothing on defense at all. So, yeah, for me, he's a bit volatile. And I think that players are going to find it difficult to be consistently winning with him in a competitive environment. Like, say, for example, if Nemo picks him up, I don't think Nemo's great with command grabs anyway. And he definitely doesn't have the same sort of reliable comeback factor that Aegis Reflector has. And again, if he gets put on his backside, he's like a turtle stranded. I don't think he's got a lot of options. So I think G's probably better than Sagat, but again, a little bit underwhelming in terms of that competitive consistency when you compare it to the top five characters in the game.
Now we appreciate those takes. I have one last question. It relates back to something we talked about earlier. How
sure
do you
thing.
Feel about Daigo's comments that SF5 being an easy game is the only reason an inferior country like England could possibly win EVO?
Is that actually what he said?
No, he said that SF5 being an easier game makes it easier for these countries, foreign countries, yeah, to do well.
They previously okay. hadn't.
And the, it was mostly related to the Dominican Republic because MENA responded. But I think it also can be related to England, who just won, you know, EVO.
I'm interested to know his excuse for Luffy winning Street Fighter 4 EVO then. For me, I think Problem X has been doing well for a long time, man. He's been traveling for about 7 years. He won it with a character that's really middling as well. And again, suffers defensively. He's not as bad as G, because at least he's got 3-frame he can mash, and he does have some reversal options. But yeah, I definitely feel like it leveled the player field, especially at the start. But then the Asian players kind of pulled through. For me, the really interesting thing about the current state of Street Fighter V is the emergence of the rest of Asia. Yeah, sure, you've got like players popping up in Latin America and Europe and Middle East, but for me, like, the real consistent results outside of, you know, your traditional Japanese gods are coming from Asian nations that weren't previously heavily represented. You've got guys like NL coming through from Korea, who's really good. You know, you've got more Chinese players taking part as well. So Korea, they're in a force alongside Japan when it comes to Asia. So when you go to a premiere and you're used to it just basically being America versus Japan with maybe a sprinkling of other players in there, now it's like Asia en masse. You've got, you know, like 20 plus Asian players traveling to every premiere. It's really, really difficult. And for me, that's the most interesting thing.
We unfortunately do have to start wrapping this up, but just out of curiosity, what character in Street Fighter V do you think we'll see on top, provided there isn't a patch, for the rest of the season?
I think that Akuma and Guile are the best two characters in the game. I think Akuma is a lot more volatile and difficult to get the most out of. I think Guile is an incredibly complete character, not just because of his incredibly good projectile game, but he's got really good hitbox to hurtbox ratio on his normals. He's got one of the best V reversals in the game. And obviously actually has the threat of a reversal as well. So I think those two characters are the best two characters overall, and you'll probably see them on top.
And do you think James Banks would agree with you?
Possibly. Possibly. Possibly.
I'm just messing with you. Logan, before we let
he's playing Battle for Azeroth at the moment anyway. God bless him.
A lot of people are, I guess.
He just picked up that sick limited edition pack with the medals and stuff in. So yeah. I'm glad that I've weaned myself off that. I 10 years clean from World of Warcraft.
Oh, really?
I'm happy.
You're not feeling the call to go back?
No. I'm good. I've managed to stick to the thing. Dude, I used to play that shit for like 10 hours a day when I was a lot younger. And yeah, never again.
Homie, anything you want to say before we let you go?
Thank you to everybody that says nice things. Sorry to anybody that generally dislikes me. Please get Duncan more jobs commentating because he's really good. And yeah, let's all play games and have fun and be silly and not take everything too seriously. But let's be nice and kind to everybody. I've learned that. I've learned that in the last year and a half. You know, it's really easy to sort of descend into putting out negative energy into the world. But everything will be a better place if we're a bit more positive and a bit kinder to people. And maybe if someone says some shit to you, ignore it and carry on with your day.
There you go.
You don't have to respond to everybody. So,
well, thank you, Logan, for the last minute appearance on the show. Where can we see you next?
We will definitely be at EGX. Might be at UFA. Hopefully, we'll be negotiating that. But obviously, we'll be on Winner Stays On sessions every Tuesday night on Capcom Fighters in the UK.
Right on. Cool, man. Well, thanks again.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you.
Take care.
And that brings us to the end of the show. That was a good one. It feels good to be back. I hate to say it, but I can't actually promise that I'll be back next week. My mother-in-law's in town, and my wife was like, hey, you want the night off and go to the show? I said, hell yeah. But typically, it's a tough job being a dad.
Your mother-in-law.
My mom-in-law's in town, so shout-outs to my mom-in-law, Rosalba. Thank you. And shout out to Alan as well.
And shout out to Vicious, who during that interview subscribed to the show.
Yeah, let's get some
Vicious,
claps going
who there. I commentated with at Evo. Great guy, great commentator. Thank you.
You get the best Daigo clap.
Yep. And
that's top player privilege right there.
Let's give this to the this is how I feel about the show.
And yet again, the last thing I'd like to say is like we didn't bring him on for a specific softball segment or anything like that. It was just like a discussion about what had happened. Yeah. And
hey, I'm blocking here.
I think we have another sub.
Thank you to Seg as well. Chris, you get the Hungry Box. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for Seg there. Appreciate you. Yeah, so thank you to everybody who watched. Shout outs to Bike and Stomps for winning our pizza. I'm still skeptical about the mayonnaise and ketchup and mustard on it, but maybe mustard would be pretty good. And like I said, maybe I'll be back next week. I hope I can be, but maybe I won't be. But shout outs to Mike for holding down the fort, Steve and John, who have been doing a great job.
Hey, I'm blocking. And
they're just trying to keep the show going.
All right, well,
I gotta go vote. I got 10 minutes to vote, so I
gotta
leave.
Go vote, Steve.
All right, go vote, Steve.
Vote for dog.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Canada.
All right, that really does bring us to the show. Thank
yes, it
you very
does.
Much, and maybe see you next week. Bye, guys.